thank you very much for joining us, and congratulations on what sounds like an incredible event at the Hatchell tonight. So, Marilyn, let's start with you. Tell us about what you've been doing, this Ode to Joy thing that you have been doing, and what's happening tonight.
Sure. Well, this is really serendipitous that it came together for us to do this premiere of this beautiful new text that Tracy has composed. My idea was to celebrate Beethoven's 250th anniversary and reimagine his Ninth Symphony for the world that we inhabit. You know, the Schiller is beautiful, but it was very much of its time. And the issues confronting us today, while some are similar, of course, they resonate in different ways. And so that was part of this project, to have texts that were that felt really culturally relevant to the regions where I was doing the piece. And I think Tracy's text, you know, it brings together these themes of humanity and unity and joy, but also, I think, points out the issues that are confronting us, like the destruction of our planet and these kinds of issues that are overwhelmingly part of our existence today.
You know, and I should add, I don't know if you realize, but we had a little sneak preview because our show comes just a few studios away from where you have been rehearsing here at GBH
this
week.
Right.
So we would come out of our studio and hear this glorious music just to give audiences a sense of what's in store for tonight. It's so beautiful. But Tracy, let's bring you in here and talk to us about how you approached this text as a poet, as a lover of literature, and diving into this project. What opportunity did you find?
Well, I have long been interested in looking at historical documents, and, you know, a poem is something other than that, but it speaks from its period, and asking to hear something that could be useful to my own period or my own, you know, particular conditions. And so looking at Schiller's poem made me want to listen for touchstones that could be useful to the feelings that I believe are kind of like sources of unrest at this moment. And those are things like division, or as Marin mentioned, our imbalanced relationship with the planet, our outsized sense of who and what we are in any context that we humans seem to enter into. And so it was an exciting opportunity to try and bring new language to what exists in the text and what it speaks to or can speak to in the air around us now.
And what was your process for doing this? How long did you take, and what did you start to absorb to do this?
I don't remember how long it took, but I know that it was about sitting down and really listening. I would kind of have the English translation of Schiller's poem on one side of my screen, and I would work on the other side and try and think about what living English 21st century referent might activate or animate what exists in the original. And so the religious sense in the poem, the sense of brotherhood and community in the poem that might feel effortless from this distance, I wanted to trouble a little bit. And I wanted to bring in a sense that perhaps our faith at this moment in human culture touches things that aren't necessarily what we think of as traditionally holy. And so the planet became one of those sources for me.
Marin, how will this happen tonight at the Hatchell? The music and the poem. How will this work?
Well, this is really a fabulous opportunity this evening, because this will be the world premiere of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony with the brand new text by Tracy K. Smith. So you don't want to miss it. And it's been beautifully set, I think, to the music. Although I must confess, Tracy, that I took one artistic liberty. I hope you'll be all right with this. When the tenor begins singing, instead of saying let's find joy, I asked him to start with joy. So I hope that's okay, because it really vocally, let's is a hard thing to say.
Yeah.
Let's. The choir and the soloists have all really, I think, made this text part of the piece now. You know, at first it was a little bit awkward because when you sing a piece that's so familiar with a text that whether you really are conscious of what the translation even means, but it's something that has been part of your DNA, you know, since you were born, it's very interesting to try to rethink and make that new text part of who you are. So tonight, I thought it would be especially wonderful since Tracy is here now and making Boston your home, right, Tracy? Am I right? That's really just a coincidence, sheer coincidence. So I was going to say a few words about the piece and what it means in these difficult times we've been through. And Tracy, I'm hoping will recite the text so that everyone can hear it before we do it in the context of the piece.
Well, Tracy, in thinking of Ode to Joy, like so many things during the pandemic, we're reconsidering things that we thought we knew. So what does joy mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, I love, Maren, even that you say sometimes you know the words, but do you really hear them? That right. Joy is one of those words, right? We hear it and we think, oh, it's happiness. Yes, I want that. But I like to think that joy has some of the sublime in it. And that it's a struggle and it's an opportunity to break through something that might be comfortable into something that might be generative and productive. And, you know, I think that's hard to do in a context, you know, as simple as a family, as simple as, or as intimate as an intimate relationship. And certainly when the diameter gets bigger and bigger, it's hard to do that. But maybe that's why we ought to.
Well, Maren, I want to ask you the same question, because I know that you began this project not necessarily, obviously, with the pandemic in mind, but thinking that you were going to celebrate this on the occasion of Beethoven's 250th birthday, to do this on six continents, to have six different translators, or a number of different translators, I should say, look at this notion. So what is it about Ode to Joy that resonates with you in this moment, too? Or and how has it evolved for you since you conceived the project?
Well, of course, the pandemic was not even on my horizon radar. I mean, I never expected this, as no one did, I think. So the idea behind it really was to try to pull out the essence of Beethoven's philosophy, you know, because, I mean, Beethoven is one thing as a musical genius, that's fine, you know, but he also represents, I think, for me, anyway, he takes on the role of a hero, someone who can overcome enormous personal tragedy and strife and still find optimism and hope for the future. And of course, as the pandemic unfolded, it seemed almost too appropriate that it would also be the same year as Beethoven's huge anniversary. Because he comes to then symbolize this idea of isolation and being disconnected from humanity. Because as he lost his hearing, he became more and more alienated from the society that he was dying to connect with and humanity. And so I think, you know, in some ways, it just feels fateful that this was the same year as the pandemic. And maybe from Beethoven, we can take something away about accepting, I think, limitations, accepting difficulties in life, and that progress is never a straight line, as we see today having to go back to masks. You know, we just need to try to, I think, bring ourselves out of ourselves and be part of humanity, share this unity. This idea of joy is a very complex one, a very simple one and a very complex one. But joy it's a galvanizing force. You know, when you create joy with a group of people, you have such incredible power. So maybe that's the takeaway for me.
We're talking about the Global Ode to Joy Project, creation of conductor Maren Alsop. We're talking to Maren now. We're also talking to the former U.S. Poet Laureate Tracy K. Smith, who has written a new interpretation of the poem to go with this, to go with the Ode to Joy. Tracy, I'm wondering if you can share some of that poem with our listeners. Read a few stanzas for us so we can get a sense of what you created.
Absolutely. I'll read two of the stanzas from early in the poem. Joy, bright God spark, born of ever, daughter of fresh paradise. Where you walked once, now walk rancor, greed, suspicion, anger, fright. Joy, the breeze off all that's holy, pure with terror, wild as flame. Make us brothers, give us comfort. Bid us past such fear and hate. If you've loved another's beauty, if you've craved the warmth of flesh, if your spirit is invested in another's sense of worth, lift your voice to touch my voice now. Let our song bring joy to earth.
We know why you're the poet laureate and the former poet laureate, Tracy Smith. The whole poem is absolutely incredible, Tracy K. Smith, Ode to Joy. You know, Tracy, before I get back to the music, you mentioned one of the stories I read about you, that as a poet laureate, you go around the country and you meet different groups of people and you speak to different people. And you were talking about being out in a rural area of the United States of America, and you're a Black woman. And there's a lot of tension around race, around politics, around everything. But correct me if I'm wrong, I had the sense that you were able to connect with people that are very different from you, that might have been surprised to even see you show up. So mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was this tremendous gift. And I was aware of, you know, my identity, the position that I occupy in many communities. And I didn't know what to expect, but I had hope. And I entered into spaces where I was a stranger, and I met other strangers who were eager to lean in, listen, share, kind of take the risk of talking about a poem that they just heard. And it was a beautiful, every single time we touched down in another community, in another part of the country, it felt like this amazing reminder that there's so much that sits beyond the momentary apprehension that, you know, sparks up between two people who are different, if we get there. I like poetry because it's quiet and it's slow, and it allows you, if you let it, to get to that other place where you're touching on something that's true for you, and you're offering it to somebody else to respond to with something that's genuinely true for them as well. It made me feel like our civic discourse needs a lot more poetry.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If we read a poem a day, we wouldn't be at each other's throats all the time.
If we read a poem a day with someone else, I think
with
that
someone
was
else. That's a great, yeah.
And we're all craving community right now. We're all like eager to get back to how close we used to be. And so I think there are lots of ways we can hopefully begin to do that more and differently.
You know, Maren, likewise, you have just wrapped up a tenure leading the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, and which was a challenge for you from what I've been reading. First of all, you were the only woman conductor of a major American orchestra. If I read correctly, you're also the only American leading a major American orchestra. I know a bit about the art scene in Baltimore from friends who were there, and I know how the museum there has tried to push back and disrupt. It sounds like you were trying to do the same too, to bring in more inclusivity. How did you find that experience?
Well, now there's a big question. I think that, for me, and I think for any of us that have, had challenges and had to struggle or look different from others in a field that we've decided to pursue, I mean, it's a matter of being unrelenting, being kind but unrelenting in one's pursuit of of the end goal. And also, I think it's so important that we set an example for the next generations and create more opportunities for people coming up than we had ourselves. So this is, you know, this is what I've tried to do. And probably, I mean, I'm very proud of the work I did in Baltimore with the orchestra. The orchestra sounds fabulous. So I'm very, very, very proud of that achievement. But I'm probably even prouder of the 2,000 kids from West and East Baltimore that are now playing musical instruments. Because in 2008, I started a program called Orchestra Kids with 30 first graders. And now there are 2,000 kids playing. And many of them have just graduated from high school and are going into careers, believe it or not, in music. And, you know, so I feel that if we can give back in this way, you know, as a result of the challenges we've sort of come to terms with, then it's all worthwhile.
You know, Maren, I often wondered why there are so few women conductors. Is it because you can't be the captain of the ship? Is that basically what this is about? Because they're really, I'm not a orchestra expert, but I was stunned that you were a woman actually leading tonight, because I see so few women leading orchestras.
Yeah, I think the statistics are something like it's more likely for a woman to lead a G7 nation, G8 nation, or to be become a 4-star general than to lead a major American orchestra. I mean, now that I did 14 years with Baltimore, and as I stepped down, there has still not been another woman. I mean, it's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. I think, you know, again, it's a matter of creating visuals that change that impression, you know, so people have to see more and more women. And in 2002, I started a fellowship for women conductors, and we now have 24 recipients and 19 music directorships. So they're coming along and they're great and they're diverse. You know, if you just see the same woman, if it's just me or if it's just someone else, that doesn't work. You know, we have to see women of different ages, different colors, different sizes, different nationalities. And I'm hoping that all of this recent social movements, which, you know, that's a whole other topic we could talk about, but I'm hoping at least the positivity that comes from those movements will change the landscape for the future.
Well, Tracy, I feel like there's something so similar in what you have done as well, in ways that young children might not be able to see themselves as musicians because they just don't have the opportunity to experience an orchestra or hear music. But then when it's introduced to them, of course, it's life-changing. The same with what you've done as the U.S. Poet Laureate, to go into communities where people don't see themselves as writers or understand that they may have a facility for it. What do you see that you can tap into people? What have you seen change in people through your visits and your efforts?
Well, I won't claim that I've changed people, but I know that people in that setting who might ordinarily say, oh, I don't know anything about poetry. Poetry is a little bit too tricky for me. When we relax and share, remember poems that they loved growing up or that they used to write poems. And so sometimes you need to be in a space where you have permission to draw upon your whole self. You know, so much of our lives were spent sort of in the compartment that we've been told is the right compartment, that we forget the whole rest of the, you know, the entity that we each make. And so I love that in that setting, people were able to access something that they already had.
So tonight at the Hat Shell is going to be like the typical concert there, the blankets, the little chairs, everybody sitting outside. They don't have to be so worried about their masks because they will be outside in their little pods. That's what it's going to be tonight at the Hat Shell, correct, Maren?
Yes, I mean, I've never been there, so I'm just imagining it, but that's the plan.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a normal outdoor concert and, you know, bring your wine and bring your whatever you want to bring and enjoy. That's the idea.
And Tracy, what's your role going to be?
Well, mostly I'm excited to listen and just receive, but yeah. I'll get to read the text. So maybe people will have a head start on what the text has become before they sort of give themselves over to the amazing force of the music.
And as we heard, a short commute for you. It's such a treat that you're a Bostonian now.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations to you both. And thank you so much for being here. It looks like the weather's going to hold. There's not going to be any rain. I don't think so. It looks like it's going to be a nice, warm day by the river. So it'll be beautiful.
And we love to share this. It's free.
Free arts on the Esplanade. That's very important. It is free. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. We much appreciate your time.
Thank you. Yeah, great. See you later, Tracy.
See you soon.
Bye.
Yeah, just a few hours away. We've been speaking with former U.S. Poet Laureate Tracy K. Smith and conductor Marin Alsop. Tracy K. Smith has written new lyrics for Ode to Joy as part of the Global Ode to Joy Project, a creation of conductor Marin Alsop. It'll be formed tonight by the Handel and Haydn Society at 7 o'clock at the Hat Shell. And as we said, it is free. To learn more, go to handelandhaydn.org. Well, coming up, how did the golden age of Alex Trebek get tarnished in a search for a new Jeopardy host? And does it matter? Callie Crossley joins us for that and more on 89.7 GBH, Boston Public Radio.